Now joining the program, Minnesota Wild Radio Network studio host Kevin Foulness, now joining the show. Thanks for the time, Kev. Always appreciate it. It's been a while, and now we've had the playoffs go through, the Stanley Cup come through. It's finally over. We're into the offseason, but wanted to get your thoughts on the Stanley Cup Finals from Monday night. What was your biggest takeaway, I guess, is a good question there.
I'm not real shocked because we know how good Florida is and was, but the way they took care of business in Game 7, they easily could have folded up, and I kind of thought they would. I thought Edmonton would take control of the game like they had the series, and it was going to bring the Cup back to Canada for the first time since 1993. That wasn't the case. Everyone that needed to be big in Game 7 for Florida was. They were able to shut things down in that third period, and they come away with the first Cup in franchise history for the Florida Panthers. So good on them. I didn't see it playing out that way. I really did predict a Edmonton Oilers 3-1 victory in Game 7. Instead, it's the Panthers that turn the tables and get the victory.
I thought it was really cool that the hockey world was sort of at the front lines of the sports world for a while. I feel like that doesn't happen a lot, but because nothing else was really going on, we got a Game 7 and everyone seemed to rally behind it. I thought that was really cool. One more thing on the Cup, though. Do you have any issues with Connor McDavid getting the Conn Smythe?
No, it was probably the right decision. I mean, if the Panthers win it in four games, obviously that's a whole different outcome for the Conn Smythe trophy, but I mean, when you look at the series as a whole and you look at what McDavid did despite coming up short in the final, I think it was the right decision. I mean, you can't say Bobrovsky was more important to the Panthers than McDavid was to the Oilers. He was just a dominant force. They were able to shut him down in that third period in Game 7, and I thought that might be what cost him it. Mm. But through six games, McDavid was the MVP of that series. So I don't know. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. He was the best player on the ice, and to me, it's not even close. And unfortunately for him and the entire province of Alberta, they came up just short.
All right, so the season's over, Kevin. Now it's the offseason. Wild, as we know, as we all know and have known with the financial restrictions. But one thing I wanted to bring up here, a lot of goaltenders being moved recently. Allmark in Boston, Kemper in L.A., Markstrom in Calgary. They've all been moved over the last week or two. Are the Wild at all interested in moving on from Gustafson?
I don't know if they're interested. I think they'll listen to that and just about anything else. There's only a couple of guys on this team that I would consider untouchable, and I don't think Gustafson's one of them. I think I could see a scenario where he's the number two guy on this team next year, or the number one guy. I could also see that he's on the way out because of the fact that he is a commodity that they could get something for. If the Wild went into next season with Fleury and Ballstead as their 1-2 punch on the big league level, I think they'd be very comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. But if they can't get the right return or a satisfactory return for Philip Gustafson, then I would have no problem with them giving Jesper Ballstead another season of work down in the American Hockey League. We know how it goes. You know, whatever they plan for the beginning of the season, chances are that's not how it will end. And if they go into it with, you know, Gustafson and Fleury as their 1-2 punch, there's a very good chance Volstead will still see a significant amount of time on the NHL stage. He's definitely ready for it, but it's just a matter of what can Bill Guerin get for Philip Gustafson on the open market when it becomes available. I wouldn't be shocked one way or the other, to be perfectly honest.
How would you define the approach this offseason for the Wild?
Well, I mean, a lot different than it will be next year, you know, for
definitely.
Sure. Once that money is available and they can go out there and spend like some of the other teams around the National Hockey League, you know, there's only so much they can do. I think the thought is they might add a middle six forward in some way, shape, or form. But I think this year it's going to be incumbent on the young guys once again to step into the fold, that being a Liam Ogren, that being a Murat Hustandina, maybe an opportunity for one of the young blue-chip defensemen to step in from Iowa, but there's not a ton of wiggle room, and that's just the reality of the situation. I don't think there's going to be any – there might be one significant move, and that depends. I mean, if they move Gustafson, if they move Marco Rossi, of course, that's going to free up some space to to make some other moves here on their depth chart, but I don't foresee anything really overly significant coming because of the situation they're in.
Talking with Minnesota Wild Radio Network studio host, do you really think that Marco Rossi is going to get moved? Like, is that a realistic possibility?
It's in the rumor mill. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the kid scored 21 goals in his first full season in the National Hockey League last year after, you know, his first foray into the NHL two seasons ago, scoring no goals and I think 1 point in like 19 games spread out over the course of the season. He went back and went to work, not only in the American Hockey League in Iowa, but last summer he busted his backside to be a legitimate NHL forward, and he became one. Where does that, you know, put him in the future? Is he your top center? Is he top six center? Is he on your third line? Anything's possible depending on how things shake out over the next couple of seasons. But I would really, I mean, the return to move Rossi has to be significant for me, or I say, forget it. I'm keeping him on this roster, and we're moving forward with number three in that Minnesota Wild uniform. I really enjoyed watching him last year, and I think he's only going to get better.
You talk about the restrictions, Kevin, and we all are aware that this team is very limited in what they can do, but is there anything, you know, we've talked trades, but free agency-wise, is there anything, any wiggle room at all that they have to bring in, you know, a veteran or two to help this team sort of win now when they're probably still looking at preparing to win a year from now or 2 years from now?
I mean, they don't have a ton of money, but they do have some degree of wiggle room, depending on, again, how things shake out between now and July 1st. The name that keeps getting floated around there is a potential David Perron. You know, he's not a young buck. He's definitely got NHL experience, and he's played at a very high level. Not sure what that does for you or your listeners, but that's a guy that would be intriguing. Matt Duchene is another guy that potentially could fill the bill if the Wild were to go that direction. I think that would be intriguing as well. But you're not going to go out there and find a Leon Draisaitl this year for the Wild. They just can't afford him. So it's going to be kind of an older veteran, you know, take a flyer on a guy and see how it goes. And I think that's kind of what they're up against this season. I still think this is a team that should contend to get back into the playoffs. I don't know that this would be the year I would consider them a quote-unquote Stanley Cup threat, but that day is coming. If these prospects keep going, and again, Judd Brackett will add to that here at the Sphere in Las Vegas later this week, this talent pool continues to bubble here from Minnesota. At some point, that's going to boil over, and we're going to have some real good prospects and the ability to go sign some top-line free agents. That day is not that far away. It feels like it, and I know patience is a hard thing to preach in professional sports, but I really think that day's coming for Minnesota, and hopefully sooner rather than later.
It's a good segue to the draft, which is this Friday, as you mentioned. What have you heard in terms of prospects that this team really likes at 13 coming up Friday night?
I haven't heard actual names. I mean, again, we're talking about dudes that are 17, 18 years old.
Right.
So by the time, especially when you're drafting at number 13, chances are they're 3-4 years away from having a significant impact on your NHL roster. Typically, it does happen where guys jump right in to the fold. But I mean, even look at a Marco Rossi drafted in 2020. Mm. He's just becoming a legit player in the NHL here 4 years later. His was kind of a different route to the NHL because of the COVID stuff, and he also had some COVID complications. But I mean, typically you're talking 2, 3, 4 years away from having a significant impact. Some of these kids played high school hockey last year,
right?
So I don't know that I don't think they're openly talking about actual names. But I think, you know, typically when you're at the 13th overall pick and with the Wild and the position they're in, you're not drafting for need necessarily. Last year they did kind of target a center because they wanted to add to that depth of the organization, but I don't think they would turn their nose up at anything at the 13th overall pick if that's where they sit. They're just looking for the best player available to add to that talent pool.
Kevin Fallness on the line, Minnesota Wild Radio Network host. I guess I have a question on Macklin Celebrini here. Where do you think he ranks in terms of overall prospects that sort of have come through the mold over the last 10, 15 years, where does he rank in terms of how good he is as a prospect? I mean, he's the bona fide number one pick. We know he's going to the Sharks. But how good is this kid?
Yeah, it's hard for me to say. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. I know I did ask that question to Judd Brackett, the Wild director of amateur scouting for Minnesota, and he said that he deserves, you know, the attention that he's getting. Would I put him in the pantheon of a Connor Bedard or a Connor McDavid or a Sidney Crosby? I don't know that he's reached that stature as far as a ballyhooed prospect, but he's the number one overall pick this year, and ain't even close. Like you say, he will go to the San Jose Sharks, but I haven't watched enough of him to have a full-blown opinion on how he will jump into the NHL and have an immediate impact. He's going to jump in the NHL, where some guys are 2, 3, 4 years away. The number one overall pick on a bad San Jose Sharks team is going to have an immediate impact. What that means in the grand scheme of things, what did it do for Connor Bedard last year? Bedard was the rookie of the year, probably. He's going to win it here later this week. And, you know, had an outstanding rookie campaign despite missing a chunk of games with injury. But on what was the impact for the Chicago Blackhawks? Not great, because they still were terrible and last in the Central Division. But you know what? He's going to have a long career in the NHL if he stays healthy. And much like Connor Bedard, most likely have a huge impact.
Breaking down the offseason as a whole here, Kevin, how do you think if things have to what needs to happen over the offseason here? By October, you can say the Wild had a really successful offseason.
You know what I want to see is this team healthy. And there's so much you can do. When they drop the puck on the regular season and they start that 82-game grind, there's only so much you can do. But if the roster is like this going into the regular season and they can keep the Spurgeons, Foligno's, Fabers, their goaltending, they keep these guys healthy, there's no reason to think that they can't contend for a top 8 spot in the Western Conference and possibly a top 3 spot in the Central Division. But that's a big if. You know, this has been a tough run here for their captain, for sure. It really paid huge dividends for Brock Faber and his emergence, because he was thrust into a significant role last year with the Wild and became a number one viable guy on their blue line. And I can't wait to see what their defensive core looks like with a healthy Jared Spurgeon, a Brock Faber, and, you know, Middleton, Brodin, so on and so forth. But that's a big thing that I want to see. I want to see Jared Spurgeon 100% at the drop of the puck from training camp and beyond. Same thing for a Marcus Foligno, Jonas Brodin. You know, there were some significant injuries this team had to deal with last year, and without the wiggle room to go grab guys off the waiver wire to, you know, have an immediate impact to make up the difference, that cost them their season, you know, more than anything. So I want to see this team healthy. That's the biggest thing, because I don't think there's going to be significant additions or subtractions to this roster from what we saw last year compared to what we'll see in the middle of October when they drop the puck.
That's Kevin Foulness, studio host for the Minnesota Wild Radio Network. As always, thanks for the time, Kevin. We'll talk soon, and hopefully the Wild can have a good weekend here at the draft.
Sounds great, my friend. See you then.